page. All three of us are also on Twitter, at NPR Montaigne, at NPR Inskeep, and at NPR Green. The show is at Morning Edition. It's Morning Edition from NPR News.
Support for Morning Edition on WILL comes from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. China lowered its economic growth forecast to about 7% this year at the opening of the country's biggest political event of the year, ushering in what leaders have dubbed a new normal of slower growth in the world's second largest economy. And China's government plans to spend more on building up its commodity stockpiles, announcing today that it will spend $24.7 billion this year to build up its reserves of grains, edible oils, and what it termed other materials. That's a 33% rise on such spending compared with 2014. Most analysts believe that other materials refer to oil reserves. This morning, USDA reported its latest export sales report for the week ending February the 26th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 17.3, next year 1.4. Corn this year, 32.6, next year 6.2. And soybeans this year, 18.4, and next year 0.1. McDonald's Corporation says its U.S. restaurants will stop selling chicken raised with antibiotics that are important to human health. McDonald's says it plans to make the changes over the next 2 years, working with its chicken suppliers, which include Tyson Foods Incorporated, the largest U.S. meat packer. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 18,089. It's up 3. The NASDAQ, 4,453, up 9. And the S&P 500 is 2,097, and it is up 1 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Midwest weather is going to improve now. We are done with all of the extremely cold conditions, and all the heavy rains and snow have abated as well. The good news is only going to last for about a week, but enjoy it while you can. There will be another opportunity for significant precipitation coming back into the region by the end of next week, and especially in the second weekend of the two-week outlook. But for the next 10 days, conditions will get definitely better. In fact, you'll be pleased to know that their temperatures during the early to middle part of next week are going to rise above average. We may see high temperatures by this time next week in the 50s and 60s in the lower parts of the Midwest, while temperatures in the north will be in the 30s and 40s. It'll be a slow crawl into the warmer than normal range, but we'll get there gradually over the next few days. Today's highs will be limited to the teens and 20s in the northern Midwest and 20s and 30s in the southern parts of the region. We still have a considerable amount of moisture running off from all the rain and snow that has occurred this week. The snow totals yesterday across parts of Kentucky were very impressive, running anywhere from 4 to 10 inches, including parts of the northern Delta. And local totals running 12 to 19 inches, with one location in Kentucky coming up with 21 inches. Phenomenal amount of snow any time of the year for them, but certainly for the early days in March, pretty darn impressive. Well, this system is gone now. There will be some lingering precipitation in the Delta in the southeast today, and also in southeastern parts of Texas. but we will see a very limited amount of precipitation as we move forward through the rest of this next 7-day period. The outlook in hard red winter wheat country is also looking up for the warmer bias conditions, but they still need a greater amount of precipitation. High temperatures in some of the central and southern plains will be in the 60s and 70s for Monday through Wednesday of next week before some cooling takes place in the second half of the week. And again, as I mentioned before, there will be another large-scale storm system possibly impacting portions of the Midwest as we get out to about the 15th through the 17th, and the storm will begin in the hard red winter wheat country about a day earlier than that. Between now and then, the only significant storminess that's likely to occur across parts of the Midwest will be when a cool front cuts across the region. This will occur from Wednesday into Thursday of next week. At that time, we'll see a little rain and rain changing to snow occurring across the region. Down in South America, everything still looks about as it has. There is going to be an increase in precipitation across Brazil for a while this weekend and into next week. There will be enough rainfall to cause some delay in farming activity, including the harvest of soybeans. And the greatest area of concern will be in São Paulo, parts of Minas Gerais, and Goiás. The rest of Brazil will see well-timed mixes of rain and sunshine through a big part of the next 10 days to 2 weeks, and the bottom line will still be quite favorable for crops. Today's forecast is drier for Rio Grande do Sul, the southernmost state in Brazil, and that is not going to fester into a problem for at least quite a little while yet. The subsoil moisture is plentiful in that state. Argentina will see net drying over this next 10 days. That situation will be favorable for corn and soybean production potential since many of the key production areas are excessively wet right now, and a week to 10 days of drier weather at this time of the year will likely translate into better crop filling and maturation conditions and continuing to support high yield potentials for most of the nation. In areas outside of South America, we're still looking at good general conditions in India after rainfall this week, and parts of China will start to warm up as we move into the second half of this month, stimulating some new crop development in rapeseed and winter wheat country. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather forecast on WILL comes from the Friends of WILL. Thank you. And from Busey, with more than 145 years of strength and service in our communities. Busey, your dream, our promise.
The All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is next Tuesday, just a few days away. But we don't want you to miss out if you have not yet purchased your tickets. So here is what we will do. If you call today at 217-333-7300 and purchase your tickets today, we will bring them with us to the All-Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And you can just pick them up right there at the front desk and walk straight in. It will only take a minute or two of your time. There won't be very much of a line to do that. And you will then know that you have gotten into one of the better meetings that you can attend in the off growing season. All day meeting includes continental breakfast, full Beef House lunch, as well as the day's festivities. It is a WASD reporting day. We'll have fresh numbers to digest and talk about, and you'll probably come away with a couple of good ideas moving forward into the 15 growing season. So we hope you join us. 217-333-7300. Ticket price just $25. Let's see how futures currently trading. Hard red winter March wheat 521.5 down 2. Soft March 484.25 down 9.25. March corn 383.25 up 1.75. July 399 up 1.5. December 415 up 1.25. March beans 989.75 up 3/4. July $10.50 up 3/4. November 973.5 up 3/4. March soybean meal 336.30 up 2.20. March soybean oil is trading 31.83 down 20 cents. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
What do you make of the export sales this
week? I thought they were reasonably good. You know, everybody was waiting for beans to just fall off the cliff and not have any sales at all. And we had sales there comparable to the last 3 weeks. I thought that was a good thing. Corn and wheat both looked reasonable, and that's a good thing. And then we had that sale of 108,000 metric tons of Milo to unknown destinations for 15-16 crop listed on the daily reporting service, and most people figure that that's going to China as well.
So they're starting their program for the Milo already, probably for the new year, and they're probably going to pick up quite a bit of it, I would think.
I would think so, too. And China's got a new program that they're trying to build stocks of commodities, and it's a substantial program that they have underway. So this could be part of that feed stockpile.
What do you make of soybeans technicals? They look a little weak lately.
They do look a little weak. We're in the middle of a trading range. I mean, we just are back into the area where we were before we started talking about the Brazilian trucker strike about the middle of February. We've lost 40 cents this week in the nearby months. I don't like that we're seeing bear spreading. That does not appear attractive to me, but I think the whole tip-off is going to be whether the meal can make a stand here above in the May meal now, above this 325 level, because that's pretty good support.
Turn your attention to livestock. Who would have thought that, you know, if you have a move of 95 cents in feeders, that would be kind of like muted?
Yeah, really. You know, it's been up sharply one day, down Tuesday hard, up sharply Wednesday. The thing that I'm watching is that the April live cattle pushed above that 154 resistance this morning. And February's expired up around 158, so I think that's going to be the area we're gunning for. Certainly, packer margins are not good on the hogs, so they're going to try to depress the cash price and get hogs bought a little cheaper. But the cattle market looks like up and away for a bit.
Thank you, Alan. You're listening to WILO AM 580.